Mekuta Sichas, Chelek Yud Beis, Parsha Shmini, Aleph, first Sicha. The Pirusha Aleph Posuk, Vateitze Eish, Milafea Shavatechel Oysam, in explaining the Posuk, and a fire came forth from Hashem and ate them, destroyed them. Matik Rashi Atevis, Rashi quotes the words, Vateitze Eish, and a fire came forth, Umafarish, and he explains. Rabbi Lezer Eimer, Loi Meisu B'nei Aaron Eloi, Yidei Shohir Aloha B'fnei Moshe Rabbam. This is of course talking about the fire that came forth and killed Nadav Avihu because they brought K'tayris Zora, as the Pasuk says, Asher Leitziva Oysam, that they were not commanded to do. So Rabbi Lezer says, the only reason that the B'nei Aaron died is because they taught a halacha in front of Moshe, their teacher. And that's not permitted. Rabbi Shmuel says, Suye Yayin Nichon Shul Migdosh, the reason they died was because they came into the Beis HaMikdosh after they had drank wine, which is not permitted either. Teida, how do you know that this is the reason? Sha'acha Misosom, because right after they died, Hizra Nisorim, the Eibishter warned the remaining sons of Aaron and his other two sons, Shlo Yikonsu Shtuye Yayin LaMikdosh, that they should not come in after having drank wine into the Mikdosh. And he says, Moshul Melech, this can be understood from a parable of a king, Shoyeloi Ben Bayis, that he had a family member, Vachulu, etc. Rashi doesn't continue telling the rest of the story. Ki the Isa Bevayikar Rabbah. As the Medrash says, and the Yikra Rabba tells this story, an explanation of why after they were, Nadav Avihu died, they were told that they should not come into the Beis Hamikdash drunk. Later in the Sicha, we will hear the rest of the story. B'tzorach Lahavin, so we have to understand. Sibas Aleph, number one, Sibas Misoshen Shol B'nei Aaron, Hare Mufreshes Hi, B'Pshutah Shol Mikra B'Kosov. The reason why the sons of Aaron died is clearly spelled out in the simple meaning of the pasuk shulifneze, the pasuk very the right before this one, vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zora shaloytzivaisam. They brought before Hashem a foreign fire that he had not commanded them, and therefore we assume v'lochein. Therefore we assume that the result was vateitze eish vayamusu, that a fire came forth and they died. So why does Rashi find it necessary to explain anything at all? Everything is clearly understood. The reason why they died is clearly spelled out in the pasuk previous. Number two, afal pikein mevara Rashi. Still, for some reason, Rashi explains it. Avaloi kipshuta shel mikra, and when he does explain it, he explains it not in the simple meaning of the pasuk. In fact, Rashi chooses to explain it in a way that doesn't seem to fit into the psukim at all. There doesn't seem to be any connection between why Rashi gives the reasons that they died and the simple meaning of the psukim. Gimel, a third question. Kiven Sharashi Bolafara Shatam, Lama Mei Subine Yaran. Since Rashi is trying to explain why the sons of Aaron died, he gives two reasons. He should have quoted from the pasuk the word vayamusu, they died, and then explain why did they die. Dalokoi, which is about what he is trying to explain. That's the word he's trying to explain. But in fact, he quotes the pasuk vayteitze esh, and a fire came forth. What's the connection between those words and the explanation of why the sons of Aaron died? Dalet, Yadu HaKlal, the fourth question. We know the rule. Shaket Shekasher Rashi Mevi Beis Pirushim Binyan Echad, that when Rashi brings two different explanations for one pasuk, Hareze Mipnei Shekol Echad Mehem Ein Bei Liyashav Amikri Lufi Pshut V'Chol HaPratim. The reason that he brings two pshatim is because one of them alone doesn't have enough to be able to explain every detail of this pasuk in its simple meaning. Because there are there's a question, or maybe some questions in one of the explanations, which the other one answers those questions, doesn't have those questions. But the explanation that he gives at the beginning, the first one, who Akarav Yosel of Pshuto Shel Mikra, is the one that is closest to the simple meaning of the pasuk, and that's why he chooses it to be first. But since there is some question or questions that can still be found in this first pshat, so he gives the second pshat, which is further removed from the simple meaning, but answers the questions which are inherent in the first pshat. So we have to understand, what is the question that is found in the first pshat? And in what way is the first pshat closer to the simple meaning than the second pshat? Hey, fifth question. Ka'omer kamapam, as is mentioned a number of times, be'im Rashi be'pirusha maybe dover b'shem oimrei, that if Rashi quotes the person who says that, if he quotes the name of the person who said this pshat, which is not common, it's most often Rashi does not quote the names of the people who said whatever it is that he's saying. So therefore, when he does quote the name, it's something unusual. The reason that he quotes the name is in order to add certain explanation, to this explanation. Somehow the name lends a little bit of more clarity to what is being said. So we have to understand, in our case, what is added, what does it teach us, that it was specifically Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shmuel, it was they who said these two pshatim. Vav, the sixth question. Pirush Rashi ki yadua meduyuku betachlis. The words of Rashi, as we know, is very, very particular, very precise, exact in all his words. The Tzarev Bir, so we have to understand, ba'atakose medivri ha-medrash, when Rashi quotes the story of the medrash, moshul ha-melech shehoyle ben bayis, the parable of a king that had a family member, v'chulu, and so on, kid'isa b'vayikra rabba, as it's written in the medrash v'yikra rabba. The Memonavshech, saying this, leaves a question either way. Im kavanoser rak l'tzayin le'ezem medrash u'miskaben, if he simply wanted to point you in the direction of where he found it, and where you can look it up. So he tells you then where the medrash is, and it's up to you to go look it up. He should have been more brief and said, the parable of the king, etc., as is written in Vayikra Rabbah. And go look it up. But if he also wanted to quote the meaning, what the mashal is, what the parable is, it's not enough to just say the first few words and you don't know what the meaning of that mashal is. So either say where I can look it up and don't say the story, or if you're going to say the story, then tell the whole story. Therefore we must say, therefore, we have to say that when Rashi also writes the word shehoyloi ben bayis, that he had a family member, hareza prat ikri bazboris pirushay, those words alone are very important, essential to his explanation. And it's enough to write those words, and that will explain something. The tzarech lahavin, so we have to understand, ain't a moving kiim al yedei, ma ain't a moving kiim al yedei prat hamoshul shehoyloi ben bayis, what needs to be understood, which these words, that he had a family member, explain that question. So those are the questions. Vabir b'cholzeh. So the explanation of all this. Mikivin shepirush b'pirushu shel Rashi, hu ala teves b'teitzeish. Since Rashi's commentary in this pasuk comes on the words v'teitzeish, muvan shebehem hakoshi shehichriche lefarash, etc. Since Rashi quotes the words Vateitze Eish and then follows up with explaining why the sons of Aaron died, it's clear that the question arises from the words Vateitze Eish. That's why he quotes these words. Here is the question. This is the answer. So, Oifim Isosin Shvanei Aaron Bachlau, Muvan. the way that the Bnei Aaron died is quite understood. Shareza mida kenegan mida, because as we know, there's a general rule that the Eibishter responds in kind. So ha'einish devateitze eish, the punishment to the sons of Aaron, that the fire came forth and they died, kineged hachet akrabas eish zorah, was in response to their sin, which was that they brought a fire which was foreign. So they brought a fire, they were punished by the fire. Avol kasha, but this is difficult. What's the difficulty? Eich yitochan leima b'pshutah shel mikra. How can we say, in the simple meaning of the pasuk, shebaloshim v'teitze eish kan yitayir akosav einish achi chomer, that the pasuk should use dafke these words, a fire came forth, to describe such a terrible punishment that two of Aaron's sons died? Why would the pasuk use the words v'teitze eish? Why not? When only two psukim previously, the pasuk used the very same words, vateitze eish, scharachi godol. In the two psukim before that, the words vateitze eish and a fire came forth describe the high point of the service in the base of the Mishkan, the high point of the Chanukas Mishkan, hashroas hashchina. The fire that came forth and burnt the Karbonus on the Mizbeach was the sign that Hashem is dwelling in the Mishkan. That was how the Yidden knew that the Eibishter chose to dwell in the Mishkan, because the fire came forth and burned the Karbonus on the Mizbeach. So two psukim ago we used the pasuk, the words Vateitze Eish, to describe the high point of the Chanukas Mishkan. Two psukim later, he uses the very same words to describe probably the low point, that the two sons of Aaron died. How could he use the same, very same words for these two opposites? Which is what Rashi is struggling with. K'may Shapirish Rashi, Shekol Zayin Yimei Amaluyim Loishor Sabay B'Mishkan Shechina. Rashi actually spells it out, that for the 7 days that they were doing the Aveda, for the first 7 days, the Shechina did not come to the Mishkan. V'hoi Yisrael Nechlamim, and the Jews were, B'nai Yisrael were sort of down. They felt embarrassed that they were putting all this effort and nothing was happening. Amalem Moshe, Aaron Ochi Kedai, so Moshe said to them, my brother Aaron, he is worthy. Through him, it's through his karbonos and through his avodah that the Shechina will come down amongst you. And then, Vateitze Eish, in fact, as Moshe predicted, the fire came forth and burnt the karbonos on the Mizbeach, the Oz, and then because of that, Vayar Kolom Vayaroinu, so all the people saw this great miracle, that the Eibishter came to be with them, Vayaroinu, they praised Hashem, they were happy, Vayiplu Alpneim, they bowed down, and so on. So that's Vateitze Eish. So therefore, the Zeu Sheikhricha Lirashi Lefarash, Shagama Teitze Eish, Omab Mises Bnei Aaron, Hu Inyan Shol Me'ein Ashros Hashchina. Therefore, Rashi has a difficulty with using the same words Vateitze Eish in an extremely negative way. That doesn't make sense. Therefore, Rashi says, the Vateitze Eish, even the second one in regards to the Bnei Aaron, also is a positive thing. It's also expressing the Hashras Hashchina, because that's what Vateitze Eish in this context means. Gilu Shel Kedusha, it's a revelation of great holiness. Kishem Shleidei Avedus Aaron Bar Gilu de Vateitze Eish Al HaMizbeach. Just like earlier, Tupsukim previously, through the Aved of Aaron, the Gilu of Hashem was through Vateitze Eish. So also through the Aved of Ketzeres that the another Vavu brought was also the revelation of Vateitze Eish. Ela Mishum Shahaya Chesaron Lefi Erkam Amalosim, but because there was a certain lack, something was missing, at least on the level of Bnei Aaron, on their level there was something missing, and therefore it resulted in a negative thing. Not that the Aveda itself was wrong. The Aveda itself was holy. and brought out Vatetze Esh. But because there was a side thing which was wrong, at least in accordance with the way Nadav Aviu should have been, therefore the result of the Vatetze Esh led to a secondary thing that they died as a result of it. Vayamusu. But the Aved itself, but Tetze Esh in itself, that's a holy thing. And this is what Rashi is writing. The Bnei Aaron did not die for any other reason, meaning to say, they didn't die because they did this Aved. This Aved was a proper thing. The reason that they died was something, a side thing. They taught a halacha in front of Moshe Rabbam. Which halacha did they teach in front of Moshe Rabbam? This very halacha, the bringing of this k'tiris. This is something they did without consulting Moshe. So they did the right thing. They did a good thing, but you don't do it without consulting Moshe. That in itself is wrong. Therefore, although it brought out Vatetze Esh, it also brought out that they died. And saying that this is a holy Aveda is not in any way contradicted by what the Torah says. Eish Zorah, the Torah calls it a foreign fire, which they had not been told to do. That makes it sound like it was something negative. No. Ki adarav, because to the contrary, Meloshin Zu Mashma Shakar Vasam Oisa Eish Zorah Rak Mipnei Shaleitziva Oisam. What makes it Eish Zorah? What makes it a foreign fire? Because they had not been told to do it. In essence, it was a good thing. But since they were not told to do it, therefore to them it was foreign. It's not your job. Ki'im heim tzivu zela atzman. They were not told to do it by Moshe. They decided to do it on their own. But the idea of bringing Torahs doesn't go against what the Eibishter said. That is exactly in alignment with what the Eibishter wanted. But since they had not been told to do it, that's Hayru Aracha Bifnei Moshe Rabbam, and that's why it's called Eish Zara. Why is it Zara? Because Al Derech Mashin is Borek Torah Zara Zara Loi Zara Sloi. The word Zorah doesn't necessarily mean that it is wrong. It just means it's not right for you. It could be a good thing, but it's not your thing. And to you, it's Zorah. As it says in the... as it says by K'tayra Zorah, that it's something which is Zorah Loi, meaning to say K'tayra is a good thing in its proper place, in its proper time, by the proper person. But since it's inappropriate for you, therefore, to the person, if the person does it not in the right way, therefore it's a zara because it's zara loy. But tzairis in itself is proper. So zara doesn't necessarily mean wrong; it just means wrong for you. Ach koshik tzas, but it's still a little bit difficult. Loymer shebishvil ze yagia einish chama kolkach, that to say that because they were not told to do it, therefore they should get such a severe punishment. So in order to mitigate this question of why should they get such a terrible punishment over doing something that was good, only they were not told to do it, for that they deserve to die. So Rashi says, who said this? Rabbi Elazar. What else did Rabbi Elazar say? Shvachim na'alim nefloim nemru al Rabbi Elazar. There were great praises and incredible things are said about Rabbi Elazar. Amatarim is goydel koychev chachmasa b'teira, describing his great chachme. He was an incredible master of teira. V'chol ze amar Rabbi Elazar. Even so, Rabbi Elazar says, ha'ayimad davar shalei shama mepid rabbi. If somebody says something that he did not hear from his own rebbe, goyrim l'shchinah shetestalag miYisrael, he causes the shchinah to leave the yidden. In other words, Rabbi Elazar, who was this great master of Torah, and you would expect that he would say things, novel things, new things that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. He says, no, even in his greatest, the greatest of the sages of the Chachmei Yisrael, you say things which your Rebbe taught you. That's what Rebbe Elazar says. Shemazem Muvan b'mekolshkin b'kalvachaymer. So therefore, how much more so? Not only he does something that Rebbe Elazar warned against, which is don't say something that your Rebbe didn't tell you, but he does even worse. Something that you were not told by your Rebbe, and you say it in front of him, that is even greater. That's even worse. Saying something that he didn't tell you to do in front of him. Therefore, we understand why the Bnei Aaron will punish in such a way, because they said something or did something that they had not been told by the Rebbe in front of him. That's even worse in the way Rebbe Elazar sees the responsibility of a Talmud Chacham. Gimel. So that explains why Rashi says in the name of Rebbe Elazar. Amnam adayin ein piruzeh miyushuv legamri. But still, this answer doesn't completely answer it. Ki kosher lidach gisa, because now we have a question in the other extreme. Mikivin shabakravas akteiris hayro alocha b'fnei rabbam. Since by bringing the akteiris, the Bnei Ar, they taught halacha in front of their teacher. V'garma l'shchina shetistalek kanal, and therefore caused, as Rabbi Leza says, that the shchina should be mistalek. Eich yitochen shalaydezeh teitzeh eish mein hashras shchina kanal. How did this bring the result that it brought hashras shchina, as indicated by the words v'teitzeh eish, that the shchina was brought? If this kind of behavior causes the opposite, that it shetistalek shchina, the shchina should leave, how did it bring v'teitzeh eish? And because of this question, maybe Rashi Pirusheni. Rashi brings a second explanation. A second answer is that they went in after drinking wine. According to this, they did something which they had never even been told that they shouldn't do. There was no mitzvah yet that they're not allowed to go into the mikdash. And therefore, this explains at least that question. How did it bring the Teitzei Eish? The problem was that they went in Shtuya Yayin. Were they ever told not to? No. Therefore, their Aveda was complete, was perfect. They did an Aveda. There was a problem of Shtuya Yayin. They never were told yet about the problem of Shtuya Yayin. So therefore, they did perfectly. It brings Ashras Hashchina. They did it perfectly without ever transgressing what the Eivishter told them. Therefore, it explains why Vateitzei Eish in the positive way, why it brought Ashras Hashchina. And that's why Rashi continues. And he says, Teida, how do you know that this was the problem, that they went after drinking? Because after they died, that's when they got the mitzvah that they're not allowed to go in after drinking to the Beis HaMikdash. What Rashi is saying here is, in addition, it's not only, as we would look at it at the surface, and we would say, what's Rashi saying here? Look what happened in the middle of describing what's going on in the Mishkan, by the Chanukah Mishkan. All of a sudden, he interrupts in the middle of the story, and he tells you a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? After the sons of Aaron died, the pasuk interrupts and he tells you the mitzvah Yayin v'Sheicher, that you're not allowed to drink wine before you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Which of course leads us to believe that the reason he says it right here is because that was the problem that was occurring with the Bnei Aaron, and therefore he interrupts the story to tell you you're not allowed to go into the Mikdash drinking wine. That tells us what they did do. So it's not only that. That's not the only thing that is being pointed out by this pasuk. Elagam. But rather also Levair Esayisrin should be Pirzeh al Pirush Rishon. Rashi tells you through this explanation, he tells you that this is what explains why this pshat is better than the first one in this way. Shaladas Rabbi Shmuel loy avru b'nei Aaron al tziva Hashem b'akravasam, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, they did not transgress anything by doing this. Ki loy nitztavu adayin al zeh, because they had not been told yet. Only now they were told. That's the point. Till now they had never been told that you're not allowed to go into the Mishkan after drinking wine, which explains why they did nothing wrong. But and it's only after they died that the mitzvah came. Therefore, they did nothing wrong. Their avodah was bishleimus, which explains why vateitzeish, why there was a shoras hashchina as a result of their hakrovas haktoiras. Below Yuksha, Mashin is Borebak, Domala, Einesh, Ashaloit, Siva, Aisam. Also, there is no question that in describing what they did, what the Bnei Aaron did, it says that he had not told them to do. Ki Aisam, Madgish, Mashen, Kenacherin. What the Pasig there is, Eish Zora, Ashaloit, Siva, Aisam. They did something which was foreign. Why was it foreign? Because they drank wine. When you drink wine, you're not allowed to do this avodah. But loitzi ba'isam, they had never been told about this yet. They didn't know that they're not allowed to do avodah when, or they didn't do anything wrong by doing avodah when they drank wine, because this had not been told yet. Later, after they died, taka, then it became a mitzvah. But they were never told. The kibin shepashu chenodav aviu vonavagdelim shel Aaron ischanchu v'nimshechu b'yachad imay, and since nodav aviu were the older sons of Aaron, therefore they were educated and they were trained and they were anointed together with Aaron. V'vadei heim hayosek ravim b'mayla elov k'meishun isbar, and certainly they were the closest to Aaron. They're the older sons. They're together with him. They're taught together with him. So they were the closest. And it says, "Alei El Hashem Ato V'Aram Anodu V'Aviu V'Shim Zikne Yisrael." The pasuk says, "Go up to Hashem, you," meaning Moshe, "together with Aaron, Anodu V'Aviu, and the Shim Zikne Yisrael." So they come right after Aaron. Al Kain Sarach Leim Shavayisa Shon Ashah Hayigiroim B'Malosam. So therefore, we must say that since they were perfect, so what was the problem with their avodah? They did a perfect avodah. There was no problem that they were shtuyei yayin, because that was not an avodah yet. And they were right next to Aaron. They're on the second level, right below Aaron. And they did a thing which was proper, which brought about the teitzeish. So then what was the problem? The problem was that at this moment they were compromised. They were compromised at that time because they were shtuyei yayin. But but according to this, we have the question, Madu and Nenshu. So then why were they punished? If they didn't do anything wrong, why are they taka punished? Befrat b'ayinishchama kol kach, especially such a terrible punishment, they died. Rashi. So this Rashi comes to answer with his moshul. Moshul amelach shoyle ben bayis, the story of the king that had a family member, as the story is in Vayikra Rabbah. Now we get to understand what is the story in Vayikra Rabbah. This is what the story is there. Mashal Melech Shehoyle Ben Bayis Neman. There was a story of a king that had a trusted family member, Motzei Oymed Al Pesach Chanuyos, and he found him standing at the door of stores. That was beneath the dignity of the king. Whatever they were doing there, I'm not sure if it means that he was doing business, or maybe it's an allusion to something else, I'm not sure exactly. But he was found in a compromised situation. The hitis as reishe b'shtika. So he executed him quietly. And then he appointed somebody else instead of him. We don't know, nobody knows what the reason that he executed the first one. Elam Amashem Etzavas Hasheni, we know it only from what he tells the second one. When he appoints this new member, he tells him, he says, do not go into the store, don't stand at the store, the door of the stores. From that we know, that this was what the reason why the first one was executed, because he did do that. So in the same way here, when the Bnei Aaron died, and they were told that they should, the other sons that are now going to step in, were told that they shouldn't drink wine. So we know this was the reason that the first ones died. So that's the story in the Medrash. Medivri HaMedrash Muvan, the Ima Yeish HaRishon LeNitztav Al Zeh. Since we know that the first one was not told, the first member of the family, by the king's story, was never told that he shouldn't do it. Mekol Mokom LeYesev Ben Bayis, then why was he killed? The reason is because he was a Ben Bayis Shel Melech. He was a family member of the king. If you're in the royal family, you know that you're not supposed to do this stuff. Even if the king never spelled it out to you, this is not something that is appropriate for a royal family. Because this goes against what the king wants. So that's what Rashi is telling us here. By telling us only the very first words of the story, Moshe LeMelech Shoyle Ben Bayis. That's all he has to say. There was a king that had a family member. This explains that question. Why would the Bnei Aaron, if they did everything right, they drank wine? They were never told not to drink wine. Why were they killed? Why were they killed? Because they were Bnei Bayis. You're in the inner circle. Canal, kihemo yibnei beisu shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're in the circle, inner circle of the Eibishter. As the Eibishter said, by those closest to me, that's how I will be sanctified. That was explaining to Aaron why the Bnei Aaron died, because they are the closest to me, and that's how I am sanctified. So, in other words, the Eibishter told him that they are the closest to him. Umatzmam yoidim anhagas beisay. So people that in the inner circle, they need to know, they know what is expected. They know what should be done and what shouldn't be done. Kam kishalein tzabal zebefeirish, even if the mitzvah hadn't come out yet. So just by saying the words, Ben Bayis, we already have the answer. The rest of the story is not as essential. Ben Bayis, you should know. But still leaves a little bit of the nagging question. Yes, they should have known, but for that they should die? L'chein Meisav Rashi, Rabbi Shmuel, who Shapirish came there for Rashi, says, who said this? Rabbi Shmuel said this. What does that explain? The Himnei Amru Chazal of Rabbi Shmuel. Chazal tell us about Rabbi Shmuel, Kana, that he was a Kayin, Ki Rabbi Shmuel was a Kayin Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel was a Kayin Gadol. And the Gemara says, Kana, Messiah Kana, he was a Kayin that helped the other Kayanim. Kipirish Rashi, Tamad hu Ezra Mamaki Lahem, that Rabbi Shmuel always helped the Kayanim, he made things easier for them. As the Gemara says over there, that he was makel to them in two different things. One of them was that he was makel that they're allowed to eat the chaylev shala keva, which the Kayanim used to get the keva, so they had this little bit of a gift, and if they had to throw out a large part of it, and it would. So he said he, in his shita, they were allowed to eat the chelush ala keva. So in other words, he was a kohen that assisted other kohenim, made things easier for the kohenim. So therefore, it's in the same vein, in the same way it's explained here. Nichale l'Rabbi Shmuel l'saya kahano l'hakel b'chet b'nei Aaron kohenim. Rabbi Shmuel, he would want to see the sons of Aaron as being, you know, to make it easier on them, that it shouldn't be counted against them in such a serious way. Even if this would leave a certain difficulty in the in what the psukim mean, even if his pshat, in which he finds favor of the Nadav Aviyu, even if it leaves some questions in the wording of the pasuk, he would still try to force that shot, which eases up on the sons of Aaron. In other words, rather than explain the psukim in a way which would be more direct and more clear and understood from the simple words, but he would choose to explain it in a way that diminishes, minimizes their chet, even though the simple meaning would amplify their chet. If we were to explain it in a simple way, the Hayru Alocha B'fnei Rabbam is much more explained in the Psukim. But Rabbi Shmuel wants to help the Kohanim, he wants to minimize their Aveira, so therefore, even though his pshat leaves some questions in the Pasuk, but since Rabbi Shmuel wants to ease up, wants to minimize and help the Kohanim, therefore he explained that it was Shtuya Yayin, which was not even an Aveira at that time, even though it leaves a question, if so, why should they be punished in such a big way? Taka, a good question. But it's much, he favors this pshat because it leaves a lesser stigma on the sons of Aaron. Dalad, ulam l'achri kol anal, but after all this, yesh l'hakshis al piruzeh shol Rabbi Shmuel. There's still a question on the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel. Aleph, maloshen ha-kotav ha-yakrivu eizara, since the pasuk says they brought a foreign fire. Mashma shakraba atzma hisa azorus achet. It seems that not that there was a side, completely side issue. They happened to be have drank wine, but the hakrava of the ketores was in its essence good. But the words vayakrivu ezara, that means that the very bringing of the ketores was a problem. The loyrak mitzad ha makrivim shehem hayushtuyim bakravasim, and not that it was a problem with them that they were drunk, so to speak, but that the hakrava itself was a problem. Number two, mikivin shloihoyu achet bakrava shalideya achet bakrava shalideya eish, since the chet was had nothing to do with the fire. Lomo b'meilu l'maynaf gemino amakro kinen shloideya v'teitzei eish. Since the connection earlier we said that Vateitze Eish was because they brought a fire which was wrong, therefore Vateitze Eish. But now that we say that there's nothing wrong with Vateitze Eish at all, that was all perfect. It was, the problem was that they had drank. So what's the connection with fire? Why was the punishment fire? Why does the Torah have to point out that the way they died was through fire? There's no longer any midah keneged midah. So why tell us about the fire? And therefore Rashi says that this second pshat is really leaves some questions and therefore cannot be the pshat, the most simple pshat. The other mebir mevayer mevara, I think, kipirus sheni, and therefore he explains it only as a secondary pirush. To tell us that the first pshat, even though it's also not 100% perfect, but still is the first pshat, is more direct and explains the psukim in a much in a simpler way. For these reasons, that it's vayakrivu, that it seems that the carbon itself was the problem. And that's why Vateitzei Eish, V'lacheinu Arishon V'Ikri, and that's why ultimately Rashi chooses the first pshat as the main pshat. Hey. Minyanei Halacha Shebepirush Rashi Zeh. To explain something in the matters of Halacha from that can be learned from this Rashi. Medayik Rashi V'Oimer, V'cheinu B'Gemara. Rashi emphasizes, and it's also found the same way in the Gemara, Shahiru Alocha Bifnei Moshe Rabbam. He says who their Rebbe was. The Hiru Alocha Bifnei Rabbam, we would know who is Rabbam, but he says no, Moshe Rabbam. What difference does it make who the Rabbam was at this point? That it was Moshe, could have simply said they taught Alocha in front of their teacher. Will be Yosef Kashin, more a greater question. Lachayra, Hayabazeh, Avacham Yosef Ma'iros, Halacha Bifnei Moshe Rabbam. you would think that there was even a greater sin on their part than teaching something or doing something in front of Moshe Rabbam. What is that? Mashayir halacha b'nei Aaron shayir Rabbam. The fact that they taught a halacha or they acted in front of Aaron, their teacher, would have been a greater, should be considered a greater aveira. Why? Because he's not only their teacher, but Gam Avim is also their father. And through this they diminished his covet because they did something without him telling them. Especially that Keteiris is Aaron's job. And they went ahead and they did it without overstepping him. As Rashi already told us in regards to Keteiris that it belongs to Aaron. And the pasuk vayavi Moshe v'Aaron, Moshe and Aaron came. So Rashi says, "Nichnas Moshe v'Aaron l'lamdei al maaseh k'tayrus." That Moshe went together with Aaron to teach him how to do the k'tayrus. In other words, that this is something that belongs to Aaron. We know already. Now Nadav and Aviu are doing something without being told to do it. They are violating Aaron's kavod, who is their father and their teacher, and it belongs to him. So it comes out that them doing the k'tayrus on their own, so they are now being pegeya in Aaron and his avoda on that very on that day, meaning the most important day, which is, in addition to Ha'eru Alocha B'fnei Rabbim, it's also a problem which is already in the Aseres Adibis, Kabbalah Sabicha. Now they're already violating the Kabbalah Sabicha also. V'apizeh kasha, loy rak yisur aloshin tatevas Moshe. So this leaves a question. It's no longer a question, why does he add the word Moshe? It's an extra word, it doesn't need to be there. Now Rashi is taking it away from, and the Gemara too, taking it away from Aaron and putting it on Moshe, when it would seem that the Pegiya ba'Aaron would have been an even greater Pegiya. So the explanation is mitzad matzina b'dinei haseiba. We find in regards to the halachas of Haseiba, the leaning, the reclining on Pesach. Shetalmid ha'eichel lefnei rabbi, that if a student is eating in front of his rabbi, even if he's not his most essential teacher, but a teacher, he's not allowed to recline in front of him because of the reverence and honor that a student has to show to his teacher. Unless the teacher gives him, specifically tells him, gives him rishus to do it. But there's no obligation for the teacher to be meichel on his kavod and to give him permission. He doesn't have to give him permission. If he feels that it's wrong, then he shouldn't give him permission. He doesn't have to give him permission. Masha'en ken bena eichel etzalabit. Whereas when a son eats together with his father, afilim aviv urabi muvik, even if his father is his most important teacher, tzarech haseba, the son has to recline on Pesach. Lepishim min astam av meichel akvedel ebnoi, because we assume that a father is meichel on his kavod for his tuist on behalf of his son. V'hainu shafilu ba'efen shekibud aviv shu rabbi hu chome yesu mekibud rabbi. So even though, and even in a way, that the respect that the son has to show the father, because he's also his teacher, and therefore is even more chomer from the kibud rabbi, and because the rabbi may not even be muvak, but the father is a rabbi muvak, so therefore there is an even greater requirement for kibud, for kavod. In that case, even so, hadinu shemin astama of meichel ibnoi, we still assume that the father is meichel, his kavod for the son, mashenke merabbi talmidei, whereas we don't apply that same assumption to a teacher and a student. Olafizet. So according to this, gam benidin de bnei Aaron, the same can be said also about the bnei Aaron. The im she'etzem ha-mitzvah achiyah b'kivud rabba, da'aviyam aranu godol me'achiyah b'kavud rabba Moshe, even though in essence, it's taka true that their responsibility for their respect and reverence to Aaron should have been, is greater than their requirement for kibud to Moshe Rabban, because he's also the father. Aaron is also the father. B'chol zeh adin noisen, still, the halacha says, Shahaben v'atalmid amayre halacha b'fnei avi v'rabbi, ein zechomek me'atalmid amayre halacha b'fnei rabbi. The same, just as by Haseba, we just assume that the father would be meichelus kavod, so also in the situation of meira halacha b'fanav, we would also assume in the same way that the father wouldn't be as bothered by this thing as much as the teacher would be bothered. And that's what halacha says. Ma'acha shemin astama of meichel ibnoi, because most likely the father is meichel and is kavod, ma'ashen ken rabu tamidai. Where it same cannot be said for Rabbi Talmidei. Al Pisa moving to Yukashor Rashi. So now we understand what Rashi says, at least in the context of Halacha, Bifnei Moshe Rabban. Why does he add the words Moshe? Masha'inkin Zeshayi Bifnei Ara Leinen Shol Zeh. The reason they were punished was because it was in front of Moshe. Moshe was only the Rebbe, not their father. Whereas the fact that they violated Aaron's covenant, that they wouldn't be punished in this way. Because Aaron most likely would have been Meichel. That's what Halacha says, that he's Meichel. Pisa yesh lamtik masharashi. Mati gamatevis lemesu b'nei Aaron. And which also explains why Rashi gives a better geshmak on why Rashi says the words, the sons of Aaron didn't die in regards to this whole thing. Why does he have to say B'nai Aaron? We know that we're talking about B'nai Aaron. The whole Pasuk is talking about Nadav Aviyu. It says in the Pasuk, B'nai Aaron. So why does Rashi repeat it? That's what he's trying to emphasize. The Mekiv and Sha'anu Donim B'nai Aaron, since we're talking about the sons of Aaron. Move and which explains they're the sons of Aaron. We're talking about Moshe, which is their teacher, but not their father. And therefore, they're not being punished for violating Aaron's covenant, because they are the sons of Aaron. That's why it's only Moshe Rabbam. Because most likely the father is Meichel. And therefore, Rashi uses these two words, Bnei Aaron, to cement that understanding of that their violation was that it was specifically Moshe, because they're Bnei Aaron, therefore Aaron was not the issue. Miyena shel Torah, vayira lekol echad v'farshashu lefaneinu, the inner dimension of Torah, which is found in the Rashi, and what is the teaching to each and every one of us. Im meyoshim medargosim shel nadav aviyu hoysen madargosim shel nadav aviyu hoysen alus yaser. Although the madrega of Nadav Aviyu was a very great madrega. Ba'at kol kach sh'omer Moshe l'Aaron, how high? Moshe told Aaron, she'hem gedolim mimeni u'mimach, that they are greater even than me and you. Ba'kosh baruch hakara mikrayvei b'bchirai. And the Eivishter referred to them as b'kroyvei, which means my chosen ones. That's what how Rashi interprets B'kroyvei. As we said before, B'kroyvei HaKadosh, that Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe considered them greater than him and Aaron. The Eibishter referred to them as my chosen ones, my special ones. B'chol zeh, not nenshu, b'oinish chama b'yoser. Even so, they were punished in a very great way, in a very, very serious way. B'klal heder abit l'roi l'rabam, because of they didn't have the proper bittul to their teacher. Shahiru Allah b'fano, that they taught, they did something in front of him. But Rabbi Lezer, l'mereis kaychei Rabbi Torah kanal, and Rabbi Lezer, although he was such a great master of Torah, as we mentioned before, hu ha'ayimah sha'ayimah davar sh'lei b'shomah b'fnei rabba, mipi rabbi gerim l'shchinah sh'zitalik m'yisrael, even so he said that if you say something that is not from your teacher, you cause that the Shechina should leave. Shabitl Rabbi Yodaber and Negev Legili Hashechina L'Kolos Yisrael. In other words, that the bitl to the Rebbe is such that that this is what brings that the Shechina should come down. U'mezeh Sha'al Yemer Adam Yisrael Lamdan Ani V'Tamil Chacham Eneini. And therefore we understand from this that a Yid is not allowed to say, I'm a great Lamdan, I'm a Tamil Chacham, V'Eich Eye Batal Rav. So how could I be bottle to my teacher, wait for him, alachakash early alocha, but Torah, I have to wait for every step that I do, that he should tell me what to do, v'chein ba'alichas olam, and also in matters, just the matters of the world, I have to wait for him to tell me. Ba'derech asher eilich ba, ba'avedas Hashem, I have to wait for him to tell me how I have to serve Hashem, v'loi b'keich eloiris la'atzmi. I know enough Torah, I can make my own decision about this. Kimi lana. So the answer is Kimi lana gadlubi kanadav aviyu. Who is greater to us than kanadav aviyu? As we said before, the Abish to consider them special. Moshe Rabbeinu considered them special. B'chol zeh hayakol chetam. Even so, what was their sin? The only thing that they did wrong, which caused them loy meisu b'nei Aaron ella, that they died only because of this. Al yedei shayu alocha b'fnei Moshe Rabbam. It was only this thing that they lacked that bittle. And not only did it have an effect on them, that it caused the opposite of Gilui Shechina, Goyrim Shetestalik Shechina. Le'idach Gis, as Rebbe Lezer said, as Rebbe Shmuel said. No, Rebbe Lezer. Le'idach Gis, on the other hand, Dershim Kolechad Vechad Shalimina Teresh Layid Afke Bavana Vasag Vesech Lesich Lehu. At the same time, one cannot say, the only thing I'm interested in is whatever my Rebbe will tell me, and whatever he tells me, I know. No, you have to work with your own mind. You have to learn on your own. You have to exercise your own Avana Vasaga. V'atche Kol Kula Yechad Bavana Sateira, till we say that the whole person has to be completely submerged in the union of avonas of understanding Torah. B'zel shemam shech Rashi ba'omer. So therefore Rashi continues and he says, Rabbi Shmuel lemesh si yayin nichasu l'migdash, that they went into the Migdash after having drank wine. What is yayin? Yayin u'b'chinas bina. Avon of Asaga, yayin is a reference to bina, which means to understand. Analysis, understanding. B'shtuya yayin, what does having drank wine mean? Hainu maleim v'chadurim havana v'asaga, which means they're completely soaked in, inebriated in this havana v'asaga. V'achet hu shenichnesu l'mikdash b'tziruzeh, that the problem wasn't that they were shtuya yayin, that they were submerged with the havana v'asaga. The problem was that at this, they went into the Migdash in that condition. What does that mean? The problem is only when you go into the holy place. But how does a person serve the Eibishter when he's not in that condition of being in the Migdash? Of course, it should be Bavana Vasaga. So now he explains, what is Migdash? You should have Avon of Asaga, but it doesn't belong in Mikdash. Where is Mikdash? Mikdash u inyan atfilah. Mikdash refers to davening. Sha'az, as we know, that Avayda, tefillah is Avayda. Sha'az ha'aymed ha'adam l'fnei melech malchei ha'mlocham ha'kodesh baruch hu. That at that time the person stands before Hashem. U'manda machve b'mocha kam b'malchei. And we know that even if you make any movement in front of the king, which is not completely directed at the king, it's that's a serious problem. Because while standing in front of the king, you have to be with absolute bittul, like a slave that stands in front of his master. But otherwise, the avoda of a person, not while he's standing in front of the king, has to be, he has to harbor in Torah, be completely submerged in Torah, where it is, a person is completely submerged in Torah. As we find the story with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Matrunisa, that a certain matron said to him, she said to him, you look like somebody who drank wine. He said to her, Rabbi Rabbi Loi said to her, Shazel Fishamudim Matsubiyode, the reason I look like this is because my Torah is available to me. I'm thinking, my mind is filled with Torah. Vahainu, so that, what is the meaning of that answer? The Zeshabagashmi is Hoya Nira Kishtuya Yayin, that the reason that he looked physically like somebody who was drunk, because by Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, his physical body reflected his spiritual status. And since Beruchnius, he was in a state of what's called drunk Beruchnius, which means Chadur, Behavanas HaTaira, completely submerged in his understanding of Torah. So therefore he looked that way, Begashmius too. But when a person is in middle of davening, what we call mikdash, then a person is mizbatal b'metzias. Then he is batal b'metzias, and he doesn't display this matzav of his own avodah v'asaga. Hareisen noisen koyach upayel shekam abedosei. So this gives him the ability that even later, when he is completely submerged in the inyan of Avasaga, which to some degree brings out his own metzias and his own yeshus, tia bebitl aroi, since he was first he davened and he was in a complete state of bitl, therefore even later when he uses his own avana v'asaga, it will be with the proper bitl, im shehi gam b'avana v'asaga deboi, although he will be exercising his own avana v'asaga, which is somewhat of emphasis on his own mitzvahs. Omnam nishelus ha-shayla, but the question still can be asked. Eich yitochen achibe shol shnei hofchim b'limada ha-teira, how is it possible to bring these two opposites? You have to be able to use your mind to its best, to its fullest, and you have to be in a complete state of bittul. How do you bring the two together? How do you have those two opposite extremes? The answer to this is found in the next few words. That's, we can understand this from a king that had a family member. Since we're talking about the Yidden, who are the family of the Eibishter, therefore the Eibishter gives them the ability to be able to bring together two opposites. They should, at the same time, they should be able to learn with complete understanding, exercising their mind and so on. At the same time, to also be able to express absolute and utter bittul. That they are able to bring together the two opposites, which are the world, oilam, you know, the metzias of yeshus, and a lakus, which is absolute bittul. Oilam misnahig al pip sagdin shel alaymid, that the world will be runs based on the psag din of the one learning, maskanase b'limudai, and what the conclusions that he comes to in his learning, or kedrash zrazal al pasuk lekel gemer alai, as our sages tell us about the pasuk lekel gemer alai, that there is that the world accommodates itself to the Torah as it is expressed by the humans, by a person learning. I'm giving psag din. And through this we bring closer the fulfillment of the prophecy, that the Eibishter's glory will be revealed, and every flesh, even the flesh, will be able to see that the word of Hashem, in other words, bringing together the flesh and the word of Hashem, the world will express this. Amen.